Keep yourself in the loop of everything football on the Golden State Media Concepts Football Podcast. The latest news on and off the field, be it college football, Big Ten, SEC, Big 12, Pac-12, ACC to the NFL. We've got you covered. Listen to the Golden State Media Concepts Football Podcast.
Welcome to the GSMC Football Podcast. This episode is brought to you by the GSMC Podcast Network. And as always, I am your host, Jesse Tapia. All right, we have finished all of our editions as far as going episode by episode, division by division, talking about each team in each segment. All right, finished it off yesterday with the NFC South. And now, we're going to be talking about some underrated teams and some overrated teams, all right? Basically the same concept, except we're going to be talking about a couple different teams, talking about why I think they're underrated, talk about why I think they're overrated, okay? We're going to start off with the Browns. I mean, obviously you can't think the Browns are overrated by any means, so obviously I have them in the underrated category. We're going to be talking about them, Tennessee, San Francisco, and New York, as in the Giants, okay? So I got the Tennessee Titans and Cleveland Browns being underrated teams right now. And I got San Francisco and New York being a bit overrated as far as what we're talking about going into the season. All right. So we'll start off with the Browns, like I said. All right, we'll talk about them. Next up, we'll go talk about New York. Third segment, we'll talk about Tennessee. And then the fourth, we'll talk about the San Francisco 49ers. Okay. And, I mean, the Browns, they're a team where they've been bad the last 20 years, okay? Basically, ever since they became, like, came back and became another, like, the franchise again, okay? Quarterback by quarterback. And it's just never really worked out. 2 years ago, they go 1-15. Last year, they go 0-16. Still keep their head coach, okay? The coach goes 1-31, and they still keep him. When has that ever happened? All right, when? Bring in a whole new front office. We got some storylines going on talking about how the GM, John Dorsey, hasn't let Hugh Jackson know who they're taking at number one. The owner doesn't know. It's pretty much all hush-hush. No one knows anything. All right. Obviously, that doesn't seem great by any means. So, you're probably wondering, how could the Browns be underrated? Even with all the problems that this team has had over the years. And when I say problems, I mean like problems. I mean, this team has been so bad for so long. I do think that they're a bit underrated, okay? And underrated necessarily doesn't mean that I think they're going to make the playoffs by any means like that. But I think they're going to be better than what people give them credit for. Okay, the same thing with overrated. I don't necessarily think that they're going to end up being a bad team, but I think people are just pumping up the expectations a little too much with these teams I'm going to be talking about. Okay? And with the Browns, I mean, I've seen a lot of people talking about, yeah, they have a decent squad, but they're the Browns. All right? And I understand, like, if you think that the Browns aren't going to be a decent team this year, that's fine. Okay? You could drop the argument that they wouldn't be. But when you go out and you say, oh, well, how come the Browns aren't going to be good? Oh, well, they're the Browns. That's not a definitive answer, and that's not an answer where that helps anything. Okay, that is a I don't care answer. All right, I have yet to see why people would think that the Browns wouldn't be decent. All right, when you got Tyrod Taylor at quarterback, Hyde, Johnson, and Nick Chubb at running back, Gordon, Landry, Coleman at receiver, and Njoku at tight end. Then you do have a young defense where you had a guy like Demaryius Randle who, I mean, he tweeted out the other day that if the Cavs end up winning the finals, that he will, anyone who retweets it, he will give them a jersey, a basketball jersey. That thing that tweets nearly at a million retweets. All right. I'm not sure how that's going to work. And I mean, that would require the Cavs to win, which I don't see happening. But nonetheless, Marius Randle might have some problems on his hands. Let's say if LeBron James ends up doing the incredible. All right. But nonetheless, yeah, they added Randle. Okay. And you got Jabril Peppers coming into his second season. I believe they traded away Jamar Taylor. All right. But nonetheless, I mean, I do think that the Browns are going to be better than what people give them credit for. I mean, I think we could all say that when Josh Gordon's got his head on straight, he is a top five receiver. Okay, he's that good. I think we've all forgotten that too. All right. And let's not forget too that this team added Baker Mayfield, and I feel like unless he's starting week one, then Baker Mayfield playing the season means that the Browns, it just didn't work out. Okay. So I'm not really counting on Baker Mayfield to be the quarterback of this team this season unless he does win the starting job. But I mean, it already seems that Hugh Jackson already has his mind made up as far as making Tyrod the starter. And I think that's one thing that the Browns need to do too is also just stick to a plan for once. Okay, last year, I mean, it was killing me to see DeShone Kizer as a starter. And I think it, like all everything I'm going to talk about, kind of ties into Hugh Jackson probably thought he was coaching for his job. But nonetheless, when you got Kizer starting week one, okay, and I don't think Kizer necessarily is a terrible quarterback. I just think he was thrown into a bad situation and probably needed time to develop. All right, but nonetheless, you throw DeShone Kizer out there, okay. And he obviously is going through some tough times as far as being a quarterback for that team. And he's a rookie. All right. I think there was a lot of unfair expectations put on him. And I think him going to Green Bay was probably the best possible scenario for his career. But nonetheless, if he's playing poorly and you got Hugh Jackson pulling him, throwing out Kevin Hogan, Cody Kessler, whoever you want out there, pulling them, throwing Kizer back out there the next week, and you're not really sure if you're Kizer, whether or not you're going to be starting the upcoming week, that's a problem. Okay. And I think that's poor coaching right there. But I mean, also, you got them adding Todd Haley to be the offensive coordinator, and he's going to be calling the plays. I think that's a perfect move right there, okay? Todd Haley necessarily doesn't get along with everyone. He doesn't seem to be well-liked among people in the NFL. But he does know how to call an offense, and he doesn't know how to run an offense, okay? He's not a slouch by any means or anything like that. He's probably one of the best offensive coordinators in the league. All right, whether you like him or not is a different story, but nonetheless, give the man his respect. All right? And, I mean, as far as the Browns, like I said, I'm not expecting them to go out and make the playoffs or anything like that, okay? But people are saying that this is going to be a 4-win team. I don't see that. I can see them winning anywhere from 6 to 8 games, honestly, this year. Maybe even 9 if the talent on this team produces, okay? On paper, they do have the second best team in the AFC North, okay? Comparing them to Baltimore, on paper again, I would take Cleveland. Comparing them to Cincinnati, I would take Cleveland, all right? And I can't stand the fact that Tyrod Taylor isn't really regarded as a decent NFL quarterback, a good NFL quarterback. How on earth did Buffalo get to the playoffs last year if Tyrod Taylor wasn't that good, okay? Honestly, I need someone to answer that question for me. All right. Tyrod Taylor is a good quarterback in this league. The only reason why his numbers didn't look great last year is because that offense was nothing. They had nothing there besides LeSean McCoy. Okay. So I think Tyrod Taylor probably does deserve a little bit more respect. All right. Carlos Hyde is no slouch either. When he's healthy, he is a very good running back. Okay, and I think Duke Johnson is going to do a lot of good things with Todd Haley in this offense. All right. My only question with the Browns is Hugh Jackson right now, honestly. Does he know how to coach a team finally? I mean, we've seen him with the Raiders. They went 8-8, throws his players under the bus week 17 after their game, gets fired. All right, goes to Cincinnati, offensive coordinator there for a few years, does well, gets another shot. First year, like I said, they go 1-15. Second year, they go 0-16. 1-31. How on earth could you keep a guy like that after? All right, and this Browns team, it's not like they were the Detroit Lions when they went 0-16, where it was just terrible at every position. This Browns team had talent. All right. And I do think that them going 0-16 came down to coaching. All right. And as far as their draft, I mean, I do like what they did. Like I said, I like Nick Chubb. I like Denzel Ward. I like Baker Mayfield. All right. And I do like Antonio Callaway, wide receiver out of Florida. Like I said, I mean, I'm not expecting them to go out and set the league on fire, make playoffs, win the Super Bowl, or anything like that. But there's a point where, I mean, if you're thinking the Browns are going to win anywhere from 3 to 4 games, I don't think you're giving them their respect. And obviously, I mean, you got to earn that. They haven't really done well to do that before. But nonetheless, I mean, this Browns team isn't bad, okay? They're not bad by any means, at least going into this season, all right? So now it's just a point of, I mean, what would we consider a successful season for the Browns? Would it be 6-10? I think so. I mean, you win no games. You go from winning 0 games to 6 the next year. That's a plus, all right? I mean, anything more than 5, I think, is a successful... No, 5 wins, I feel, is like you're just mediocre and bad, I feel. All right? Anything less than 5, I think you're just mediocre and bad. 6 wins kind of like a step in the direction if you were a bad team the year before. 7 wins is like you're on the way. 8 is like you're close. All right? And if you win 9, that's a possible playoff team, especially in the AFC. So, I mean, as far as the Browns go, like I said, I mean, people are pretty much writing them off. The reason is because they're the Browns, which I don't get. I do get it, but it's lazy. Okay, it's a very lazy take. I mean, actually look at what this team has. Look what they added in the draft and tell me that you think they're going to be terrible again. All right? Just actually do some real analysis there. So, I mean, as far as the Browns, I think I had them going, like, what, 6-10 or whatever when I picked their schedule a week ago or what, somewhat like that. I mean... Like I said, 6 wins would be fine for me. But like I said, I don't think they're going to be as bad as everyone says. All right? I think 6 wins is at the minimum for this team. So we'll see what ends up happening. But next up, we're going to be talking about a team that's possibly being overrated right now. And I think that's the New York Giants. So stay tuned and I will be right back.
Are you looking for help for your fantasy football team? Check out the GSMC Fantasy Football Podcast. Get today's best advice on who to start, who to sit, even who you should draft. From sleeper picks to red-hot lineups, they got it all covered for you. That's gsmcpodcast.com/fantasy-football-podcast. We'll cover traditional leagues, dynasty, PPR, even IDP leagues. When you need fantasy help, there's just one show to hit up. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit gsmcpodcast.com for more info.
All right, and welcome back to the GSMC Football Podcast. We spent that first segment talking about the Browns and why I think they're a bit underrated. Now we're going to talk about a team I think is a bit overrated. And necessarily, when I say overrated, I don't think, like, what I mean is they're probably not going to live up to expectations, okay? It's basically what I'm getting at. And, I mean, I think the Giants are probably going to be a team that, like I said, don't live up to expectations, okay? The Giants last year, I mean, that was probably about as bad as a year as you could have. All right. Was it Bob McAdoo? Didn't really work out. All right. Year one, it looked fine. Giants looked great. Next year, supposed to be a Super Bowl contender. 3-13, fourth in the NFC East. This year, they add Pat Shurmur, add a new defensive coordinator, I believe, from Arizona. And draft Saquon Barkley with the number one pick. Okay, last year they lost Brandon Marshall to a season-ending injury. He's gone. Lost Odell Beckham Jr. to a season-ending injury. He'll be back this year. All right, and also now you got Sterling Shepard who looked real good last season. Okay. And with the Giants, I mean, I think they're going to be a decent team. It's just a point where, I mean, the NFC is real stacked. Okay? It really is. There's not necessarily any real bad team, I'd say. All right? People might point to Washington, but I like what they're doing. The Bears, I think they're going to be a real young team, but I think they will be decent. And it's just with the Giants, I mean, like I said, Washington's going to be a good team, I think. Philly is the best team in the NFC right now. And I think Dallas is going to get better. Okay. Dallas last year went 9-7. If I think they're going to get better, I think that's at least 10-11 wins this upcoming season. All right. And with the Giants, I mean, it's just a point where I don't like how they waited so long to draft a quarterback. I understand that Saquon Barkley probably was the safe pick, but what's your plan after Eli Manning? Honestly. All right. I mean, the Giants' plan has to be to win ball games, right? And obviously, I mean, that's a plan for everyone. But I mean, literally think about it. Eli's probably got about 2 more years left in his career. I think it's 2 more years for sure with the Giants. After that, I mean, he could go play for a different team or he could just retire. What is your plan after Eli? Do you even have one? All right. And I like that they added Pat Shurmur. But there's a point where it's just the conference is too good and the division is too good. I don't see them being better than the Cowboys. I don't see them being better than the Eagles. And I mean, if I'm looking at them right now, as far as where they stand in the NFC, I'll go over teams that I think currently are better than them. All right, I will take Dallas, Philly, heading to the NFC North. I like Green Bay, Minnesota. Okay, the South, Atlanta, Carolina, New Orleans. I would take over the Giants right now. It's already 7 teams. And in the NFC West, I would take LA. Would I take San Francisco over them? No. I don't know, would I? Not yet. And then Seattle. As much as I like to watch Seattle, no. So I say that right now, there's 8 teams that are currently better than the Giants. And then there's teams like the Redskins, the Lions. All right. Then I guess like San Francisco and Seattle, that is like on their level, I'd say. Like right near them. You could make an argument that they would be better than the Giants this season. All right. And I mean, as far as I think when I picked their schedule last week, I believe it was last Monday's show, I believed I had them going like 6-10. All right. And that's not necessarily like me thinking they're going to be terrible. It's just like I said, the NFC is going to be way too good this season. It's going to be tough to pick up wins. We could see 2 9-7 wildcard teams making it in. All right. We could possibly see an 8-8 team making it in, see the playoffs from the NFC. Like, that's how difficult I think it is to win in that conference this season. All right. And like I said, they got talent. I still think Eli is a decent quarterback at this point in his career. Like I said, the guy's a first ballot Hall of Famer, no doubt for me. And one thing too, with Saquon Barkley, as great as he seems as a prospect, I mean, we still got to wait till this guy touches the field. Okay? I mean, he's not, like, he's supposed to be the greatest thing since sliced bread or whatever, but he's still got to go out there and perform. Team's still got to go out and block for him. All right, this team has struggled to run the ball the last few years. They haven't really had a great running back in the history of their team. I mean, Brandon Jacobs was good, but he wasn't great. Maude Bradshaw was good, but he wasn't great. Is there really no true great Giants running backs? It might just be Saquon Barkley if he does work out. All right. Like I said, I mean, the Giants, they got Evan Ingram. You got Odell Beckham Jr. You got Sterling Shepard. Okay, you got talent. But I mean, are they going to deliver? Okay. They live in a big market. Oh, yeah, they had Tiki Barber. I forgot. Tiki Barber, I'd say, was great. All right. And Larry Zonka too, but that was like at the very end of his career. Right. So no one really in their prime besides Tiki Barber, I guess, was great with the Giants. All right. But nonetheless, I mean, as far as the Giants go, I think that they should have taken a quarterback this year. Okay, at least have a plan for when Eli's gone. And maybe that's just their thing for next year. Maybe they like the quarterbacks next year, which, I mean, I feel like maybe that's what a lot of the teams are planning for. Right? So maybe that's what it is. But, I mean, let's look at their schedule again. I'm not going to go week by week. Just look at the difficult games they got. You got the Jaguars week one. Okay? Week two, you got Dallas at home, in Dallas. Then you got the Texans, the Saints, Panthers, Eagles, Falcons. That is about as brutal as a... Let's see, how many weeks is that? Week 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Their first 7 games are against teams who either had a .500 record, make the playoffs, or, I mean, the Texans, I mean, is the only outlier there, but the Texans are a team that most likely would have finished over .500 if Deshaun Watson doesn't get hurt. That's just the first 7 games there, okay? Then, of course, you got to play teams like San Francisco in San Francisco where you're not even sure if you're better than them. All right, you got to play a team like the Titans who I think is going to be pretty good this year. I mean, it's going to be tough, plus your divisional games. All right, that 7-game stretch to start the season is going to be extremely difficult for this team. All right, and that's kind of where I'm getting at with the whole, I think they're going to be good, but it's just going to be tough for them to get wins. Okay? I mean, how do you expect them? You got, let's see. Out of those first 7 games, 1, 2, 3, I think it's 4 teams out of those first 7 games that made the playoffs. Actually, let's see. 5 out of those 7. Yeah, 5 out of the 7 teams that they were playing made the playoffs. All right. That's extremely difficult. Not to mention one of those games is in Dallas, where, I mean, the Giants actually have been pretty good in Dallas. All right, as much as we like to call it jerry-rolled, I mean, that just might be the Giants' home right there. All right, and like I said, I'm not trying to knock them down or anything like that. I think they have a lot of talent on that team, but it's just a point where are the wins going to come from? Okay, honestly, where? So as far as the Giants go, they could be anywhere from a playoff team to a team who just goes 5-11, 6-10, and just doesn't work out. And that's not necessarily their fault. It's just the point where there's a lot of great teams in this NFC. All right. And as far as the Giants go, I mean, what do we expect out of them this season? They went 3-13 last year. We expect them to be this great team that just goes 8-8 or 9-7, 10-6 after going 3-13. You still got to build a whole new culture now. All right. And you got to make sure everyone's on the same page. All right, so I'm not sure how well set up the Giants are for the future, given that it seems that their only choice is to either pay Odell Beckham Jr. or just let him go, unless they just want to franchise him a bunch of times. Even then, so then they'll have to let him go. I think best case scenario for them is to just pay the guy. All right, you have no backup for Eli Manning right now. I mean, Davis Webb, I guess, is what they're hanging on to, or either Kyle Lauletta, the quarterback out of Richmond, who they got to develop still. All right. So, I mean, as far as the Giants go, it's going to be tough for them to finish top 2 in the NFC East rather than even finish top 3, given that the Redskins, I think, are going to be pretty decent this year. All right. So, we'll see what ends up happening with the New York football Giants. Like I said, they got talent, but it's just, it's going to be tough for them to pick up wins this season, given their schedule. All right. So, we're going to wrap it up there. Next up, we're going to be talking about the Tennessee Titans. I think they're going to be a very good team the next year, so stay tuned for that, and I will be right back.
Check out the show that's built on the MMA. From the UFC to extreme cage fighting, they got the fights covered. Check out the GSMC MMA podcast. Get the latest news on past or upcoming fights. Join us as we talk to and about some of the biggest names in the MMA, past, present, and future. When it's the fight game, there's just one show to check out. GSMCpodcast.com/MMA-podcast. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit GSMCpodcast.com for more info.
All right, and welcome back to the GSMC Football Podcast. So far, we've talked about the Browns and the Giants, talked about why the Browns, I think, are underrated, talked about why I think the Giants are a bit overrated. Not necessarily thinking that the Giants don't have the talent to be good, but this is going to be difficult if you look at their schedule. All right, I don't think they're going to be able to live up to expectations. And I think that's fair to say. All right, just go look at it. But nonetheless, that's what we talked about. Now we're going to be talking about the Tennessee Titans. All right, I think the Bears are my sleeper team in the NFC right now, and I think the Titans might be my sleeper team in the AFC. Last year, I couldn't stand the Titans. All right, absolutely could not stand that team. I did not think they deserved to be in the playoffs. Okay, I thought Marcus Mariota was insanely bad last year. I thought that the running game was a big mess because Derrick Henry should have been the starter a whole lot sooner than he became it. Okay, I thought the receiving corps wasn't great. I thought the defense wasn't great. I had no clue how they were winning these games, honestly. They finished 9-7. No clue how they got to 9 wins at all. Nearly won the division, okay? Came a game short. I mean, it was something where, like I said, couldn't wrap my head around it. They make the playoffs. I'm thinking, you know what? There's no way they win a game. All right, they're going to get blown out by the Chiefs. They were on their way too. Okay? They were on their way. They were down, what, 21-0 to the Chiefs? And then Andy Reid does this thing where Andy Reid is terrible at clock management and just terrible at managing the game in the playoffs. They lose 22-21. Tennessee comes back. Divisional round. They got the Patriots. I thought maybe that the Titans would do all right. Yeah, no. They got blown out. Corey Davis, though, had himself a game. Nice little breakout game right there for him. All right, got people to start paying attention to him. But nonetheless, I mean, yeah, last year it was an abomination for the Titans. Marcus Mariota looked terrible. DeMarco Murray is way past his prime. Derrick Henry should have been the starting running back a while in, like early on into the season. But nonetheless, they waited for it. Eric Decker didn't work out with that team. I mean, it was just all bad all around for them. And somehow they still managed to finish 9-7 and win a playoff game, which I don't understand. I can't wrap my head around it still. All right, Tennessee just made you want to pull your hair out when you were watching them. All right, and I'm not even a Titans fan. Nonetheless, they were that bad. So, I mean, going into the season, I think I understand why people aren't really talking about them too much. Okay? I mean, why would you, given how bad they looked last season? But for me, of course, couldn't stand watching them last season. Can't wait to watch them this season. And that's just how sports go. All right. I mean, the Titans did well in free agency, I feel, added Deion Lewis and Malcolm Butler. And I figured that Derrick Henry was going to be the bell cow back for this team. But I do realize now that we don't really see that happen too much with these teams anymore. All right, now it's more so guys are going to be splitting time. All right, so I guess I do understand Deion Lewis being there. And obviously, Derrick Henry's going to be the guy who runs in between the tackles for him. He's going to be the guy who gets most of the touches. I don't know, is he? Because they did pay Deion Lewis a decent amount of money, I feel, didn't they? They also paid Malcolm Butler a whole bunch of money, I feel. All right. Nonetheless, I mean, They brought in Mike Vrabel. He has no head coaching experience, and I don't even think he has any coordinator experience. I think he was the linebackers coach at Houston before he got to Tennessee. He might have been the defensive coordinator. I have to double-check his little career because I remember Mike Vrabel more so being the guy on the Patriots rather than the coach. All right? Which is honestly kind of weird just to see Mike Vrabel. I mean, as far as watching him on the Patriots, I never thought he'd be like a head coach or anything like that. All right, I just thought he was a guy who just terrorized offenses the entire time. But let's see. Let me look at his coaching stuff right now. All right. Let's see. He was the linebackers coach for Ohio State in 2011. Then he goes to Houston in 2014. All right, the linebackers coach. San Francisco offered him the defensive coordinator coach in 2016. He declined that. Oh, yeah, so he does have coordinator experience. He was the defensive coordinator for Houston in 2017. Now 2018, he's the head coach of the Titans. All right. So I was off there. But nonetheless, you get it. Okay. And Tennessee's the Texans defense wasn't necessarily, it wasn't bad or anything last year. And more so with Vrabel being the head coach, I'm sure he's going to focus more on the off or on the defense as he should. But also being the head coach, it's the guy where you got to change the culture up a bit. That's your job, all right? It's not necessarily to be, I mean, calling the plays and all that. There's a whole bunch of other stuff. You're kind of like the CEO of a company there. You got to make sure all the workers below you and stuff are doing their job, all right? So I have no problem with Mike Vrabel being the head coach of this team, just given the fact that they brought in Matt LaFleur to be the offensive coordinator, and I think that might be the next guy who's getting a head coaching job pretty soon, all right? LaFleur's done well everywhere he's gone. Like I said, I've said it before, and I'll say it again. All right, here he coached. It was the quarterback's coach for Matt Ryan. Ryan won the MVP. They went to the Super Bowl too. Last year, the offensive coordinator for the LA Rams. Goff has a great year. All right, that offense just looked great as it was compared to the year before that. Now you got him over here in Tennessee. Marcus Mariota. I mean, if you're an offensive coordinator, how could you not be excited to work with a guy like Marcus Mariota, where he's a dual threat type of quarterback, where he could take off and also can throw the ball? I mean, Marcus Mariota is about as accurate. He's not insanely accurate, but he's accurate enough. And also, I mean, other than last season, he's never really had a problem as far as turning the ball over. Marcus Mariota is a very good quarterback. Okay. And I think this year is going to be one where we see Mariota have a little bit more freedom. Last year, I don't think he had as much freedom, just given the fact that I don't think they really wanted him to take off too much with the ball. And I understand that, and that's kind of what the Redskins did with RG3. They kind of limited him, all right, maybe to keep him healthy. And we saw that, and that doesn't necessarily work out, too, when teams try and limit their quarterbacks who can take off with their feet. And I don't understand why teams haven't picked up on that. Okay, because when the Panthers tried limiting Cam Newton and trying to have him take off less, Cam Newton wasn't really as effective as he was before. Okay. Now, they're starting to let him take off a bit more, and Cam Newton looked great last season. Also was the Panthers leading rusher. Okay. And I think with Mariota, if you want to get the most out of him, then you let him take off with the ball. You let him be Marcus Mariota. You don't limit him. That's never worked. And I don't understand why these teams try to turn these quarterbacks into pocket passers. Don't try and make them fit the scheme. Make the scheme fit them. All right? Bill Belichick does a great job of that. And look how successful he's been. I think Sean McVay is a guy who also did that with the Rams. All right? These old school coaches will always try to make the players fit the scheme, when in reality, they're too stubborn to realize that, you know what, we need to cater to the players. Okay? You'll be more successful that way. And if you at least you're going to run a certain scheme, then bring in the players that fit it. Don't bring in guys you think, oh yeah, I could definitely mold this guy to work here. I mean, it makes no sense to me. Okay? But nonetheless, going into the season, I mean, Tennessee very well could be a top five team in the AFC if you truly look at it. Okay, how many teams I can name better than Tennessee right now. The Patriots, the Steelers, the Jaguars, the Chargers. I will take Tennessee over the Texans right now, given that I want to see what Houston does with Deshaun Watson. Okay, so yeah, Tennessee I think is the fifth best team in the AFC. You got teams like Denver, like I said, Houston. And after that, I mean, it's kind of a toss-up. Miami maybe could be decent this year, but it's just a matter of whether or not Adam Gase is just a genius or whether or not he just got in way over his head and just completely messed up this team like every other coach has. All right, but yeah, like I said, Tennessee's going to be very good. All right, and they also did well in the draft. Had 4 picks only. What did they do? They spent 3 of them on defense as they should have. Rashawn Evans, I think, is going to be a day one starter. Harold Landry is going to be a decent outside linebacker or DN if they move him there. And then you take Dane Cruikshank, a cornerback out of Arizona, where you know, yeah, we got needs at the secondary. Okay? And like I said, I think Mike Vrabel is going to be a decent head coach here because, I mean, I think he's a guy who could change up the culture there. Tennessee's been kind of like an off and on type of team as far as playoffs and all that. And I think now, more so, Vrabel and that front office and everyone there is going to turn them into a team where they're consistently fighting for playoffs rather than one year they look good, the other year they look bad. Okay, they're always going to be in that conversation, I think. And that's what they should be. Marcus Mariota is a very good quarterback. He's not yet an upper echelon type quarterback, but he is eventually on his way there. Okay. Like I always say, him and Jameis Winston are always going to be linked together because, I mean, they were always talked about in college when they played the same years, and they both went 1-2. All right. And I'd say as of right now, Mariota's probably had the more, actually, he has had the more successful career in the first 3 years. All right. Obviously, we still got plenty of time, but Mariota's a guy where he gets it and he knows how to get it done. So as far as his Titan team goes, I mean, they play in the toughest division in the AFC, I feel. But I do think that they got their work cut out for them because I do think they're going to be a very good team. All right. And the Giants, like we talked about them in the last segment, they don't have the benefit of playing in a weaker conference. They play in the toughest conference. All right. And looking at the Titans schedule right now, I mean, it's not necessarily difficult. You do got teams like, obviously you got to play the Jags twice. You got to play the Eagles. Okay, you got to play Dallas. They play the Giants also, but there's nothing really too difficult in their schedule. All right, you play the Patriots, the Chargers, and all that, but nonetheless, if I think Tennessee's going to be as good as they are, they could take a game or two against those top teams. All right? So one thing I'm really looking forward with Tennessee is their offense, and I think their offense is going to be probably one of the best in football this upcoming season. I'm not going to say they're going to be like the best or top three or anything like that, but I say they'll be top 10 at the very least. And if they're not, then I was completely wrong as far as my take on pretty much just this team going into it. All right. So we'll see what ends up happening. I mean, the only question mark with this Titans team is their defense, their secondary, I should say, but I think it's going to be a little bit more improved compared to last season. All right. So like I said, I mean, Tennessee's not really a team anyone's really talking too much about. I think that's more so given the fact that they didn't look great last season, even though they did make the playoffs and win a playoff game. But I think Corey Davis is going to be a guy who steps up this season also. And then I think Rishard Matthews is going to have himself a nice little year. So we'll see what ends up happening. And also, too, with LaFleur, I mean, we saw him utilize Cooper Kupp in a real great way. Why not with Rishard Matthews in the slot there, too? I think Rishard Matthews is going to be a guy who has a decent year this season. So we'll see what ends up happening. But like I said, Tennessee, I think they're going to be very good this season. So we're going to wrap it up there. Next up, we're going to be talking about San Francisco. So stay tuned, and I will be right back.
Check out the show built around the women of MMA. From the UFC to the extreme cage fighting, we got the fights covered.
Listen.
It's the Golden State Media Concepts Women's MMA Podcast. The latest news of upcoming fights, discussions of previous matches. Join us as we talk to and about the biggest names in women's mixed martial arts, past, present, and future. When it's the women's fight game, you know where to listen to. The Golden State Media Concepts Women's MMA Podcast.
Alright, and welcome back to the GSMC Football Podcast. So far today, we've talked about the Browns, Titans, Giants. Basically, today's show is just about teams that I think are a bit overrated, won't live up to expectations, and teams who are underrated. Okay? I had the Titans and Browns as being teams underrated, and then the Giants as a team who's overrated. All right. I don't think they're going to be a bad team, but it's going to be tough for them to go out and win games in this NFC. All right. Another team I think is a bit overrated going into the season is the San Francisco 49ers. Okay. And I don't like with San Francisco, they went 6-10 last year, went 6-0 with Jimmy G starting. Well, 5-0. I think he started 5 games, came in at the end of one, and they ended up winning. All right. But nonetheless, I understand that 49er fans are extremely excited about Jimmy G, as they should be. Okay, he does look like he is going to end up being a good quarterback. But also, let's not forget that the guy really... He's never really played too much so far. Okay. 2016, he's only started 7 games in his career. All right. 2016, he went 2-0. 2017, he goes 5-0 in his 5 starts. And, I mean, it's just a point where, like, pump the brakes a bit on the expectations. Okay, you still don't have a starting running back. I've been hearing people tell me that Jerick McKinnon's going to be the guy. When has Jerick McKinnon ever been the guy? Okay? Like, honestly, that makes no sense to me. All right? Jerick McKinnon, sure, he's a decent running back and all, but he's never been the guy with the Vikings. Okay? Easily could have been the guy once AP was gone, but you know what? They decided to draft Dalvin Cook, and Dalvin Cook was better. All right? There's a reason why Jerick McKinnon still isn't with the Vikings. All right, you're going to tell me Matt Breida is going to be the next top guy too? I don't see it. All right. Now, your receivers. Pierre Garçon, a number 2 guy his entire career. Marquise Goodwin, a one-trick pony, who's never really been more than a number 3. All right, who does have talent though? I will give him that. And Dante Pettis, a guy who I'm not really too high on. Okay. I really think that they need to go after a guy like Dez Bryant. They bring in Dez Bryant, then sure, playoffs and all that, I'm all for it. Okay? And like right now, as far as their defense, I think their defense eventually could end up being a top 10 defense, but as of right now, I say I put them in that little 12 to 18 range. All right? I think the defense is too young and still a little bit too raw. I don't trust Richard Sherman, given that he's 30 years old coming off of an Achilles injury. And I feel like that's just common sense right there. Okay? I don't understand how you could think a guy like Richard Sherman at the age of 30 who, I mean, realistically, has never been... He's been a top guy, but the only knock about him has always been it's been his safeties who've been saving him from behind. All right? Now we're truly going to see how good Richard Sherman is. And even then, so I don't really necessarily think that's fair given the fact that I mean, the dude's already past his prime, I think. All right. Richard Sherman doesn't do well with the 49ers this season, and they cut him. I mean, who's going to pick him up? All right. Honestly. So now, I mean, we got to wait and see what ends up happening. I guess OTAs, everyone's looking great, but like I said, I could care less about who looks great, who looks terrible in OTAs, given that it's just a bunch of guys in shorts playing pretty much flag football. It doesn't matter, honestly. It's more so a time for you to get acclimated to the playbook and all that. All right. And with San Francisco, like I said, I mean, I just think that we need to pump the brakes on the expectations a bit. Okay, I've literally seen like 3 or 4 analysts go out and say that San Francisco is their Super Bowl pick. Or at least their pick to make the Super Bowl out of the NFC. Are you serious? You're going to tell me right now, for those that actually think that that's possible, that San Francisco is, they're not even a top 5 team in the NFC, let alone top 7. Okay? They're not. I don't get it. They're not even the best team in their division. And I'm not even sure if they're that much better than Seattle, if they even are. Okay. And I mean, it's not like I got this 49ers being terrible this season. I think I got them going 8-8. It's a 2-win improvement. My biggest thing with them is just the fact that everyone's pumping them up like they're going to win the Super Bowl this year. All right. Let's not forget how difficult that NFC is going to be. We talked about it with the Giants. Okay. We're going to have to schedule. We got to play the Vikings in Minnesota. The Lions are going to be a good team. The Packers. You're going to play the Rams twice. All right? You're probably going to split with Seattle. I see the Rams sweeping them this year. Broncos are going to be a decent team this year. The Giants, they got to play them. The Giants, I think, are going to be a decent team this year. Cardinals are going to be decent. They got to play the Chargers, who I think are the best team in their division. All right? Like I said, San Francisco's on the come up. They're on their way up. But let's pump the brakes as far as these expectations for this season. Okay, let's see what Jimmy Garoppolo can actually do in a 16-game season where he's starting every game. How about that? All right, I think that they got worse at running back this season. I will take Carlos Hyde over anyone that's in that backfield currently. I don't think that I'm wrong for that. Okay, So we'll see what ends up happening with the 49ers. But like I said, let's take it easy right now on the expectations. All right. I think that eventually they will be a top team in the NFC if Garoppolo turns out to be the quarterback that everyone thinks he's going to be. And that's one thing too. All right. San Francisco did go out on a limb, paying him all that money after he's only started 7 games in his career. All right. And I'm not necessarily saying it's a bad thing. I'm just saying you take a risk there. It's a high risk, high reward type of thing. All right. But as far as San Francisco goes, I think that, like I said, they'll be 8-8 this season, somewhere around there. Probably won't make the playoffs, but I don't necessarily think that's a bad thing. But we don't need to be crowning them Super Bowl champs already. All right. I mean, it's just, it's a bit overhyped. It's a bit overrated. All right. I mean, you get the Cardinals who went 8-8 last year with Blaine Gabbert and Drew Stanton pretty much leading the last half of the season. You don't think that they're going to be better with Sam Bradford and Josh Rosen out there? Defense is still good. You got David Johnson coming back who didn't even play last season. I mean, come on. All right. The Cardinals very well could be the second best team in this division. And like I said, I'm not trying to hate on the 49ers or anything. It's just a matter of let's pump the brakes and let's see really what ends up happening rather than thinking they're going to be this great team. All right. So we'll see what ends up happening. But nonetheless, I mean, there is some news going on in the NFL right now. We had Brandon Marshall who got signed by the Seattle Seahawks, speaking of the NFC West. Okay. That's a low risk, high reward type of deal. All right. Brandon Marshall's 34 years old, coming off of a season-ending injury. His best season came a couple years ago. Well, probably the second best season of his career came a couple years ago in 2015 with the Jets. Now it's just a matter of whether or not Marshall could stay healthy and whether or not he still has it. Okay. And I think that Russell Wilson, him playing with Russell Wilson, which is probably the best quarterback that Marshall's ever played with, is going to be a plus for him. And also, you don't need Marshall to go out and be the number one. All right, because you have Doug Baldwin already there. And as far as like Seattle goes, I mean, they do kind of scare me as far as their team. I'm not sure what I think of them too much. But when you do have a top five head coach and a top five quarterback, that really goes a long way as far as masking the other problems. And it's just a matter of whether or not they did enough to find good enough replacements for their defense. All right, getting rid of Michael Bennett. Getting rid of Sherman. Cliff Avril probably won't be playing. Cam Chancellor still got to see with his injury. All right. Earl Thomas is pretty much the last of that Legion of Boom. So, I mean, as far as Brandon Marshall, I mean, he got a 2-year deal. That's about as much as he could get. It's a maximum deal for him. I'm curious to see what ends up happening with Dez Bryant because of that. I would take Dez Bryant over Brandon Marshall right now. I'd say Dez Bryant is probably worth about $7 or $8 million for 1 year. Okay. And like I said, if I'm San Francisco, I'm going after Dez Bryant. I don't see there's no point not to. Okay. Bring him in for a 1-year deal. If he does well, extend him. Why not? I get that they drafted Dante Pettis in the second round, possibly a bit of their number one, but I'll tell you this much. I'll take Dez Bryant over Dante Pettis at this point in time. All right. Like I said, if you take Dez Bryant for 1 year, he doesn't work out and Dante Pettis looks better, boom, just move him into the number one spot for next season. It's not that difficult. All right, but I guess San Francisco has a plan, so we'll see what ends up happening. I mean, this NFC conference is going to be very good. All right, the AFC is going to be pretty weak, I think, this year. So, I mean, we could see an 8-8 team make the playoffs in the NFC this season. All right, and that's not necessarily a bad thing. It's just like I said, NFC's just got way too many good teams right now. So we're going to wrap it up here. Today, we talked about a couple of teams I think are a bit overrated, a couple of teams I think are underrated. I think the Browns and Titans are a bit underrated, and I think the 49ers and Giants are a bit overrated. So we'll see if what I said is right. I mean, we still got a long ways to go before the season even gets here. All right. So like I said, we're going to wrap it up. Thanks for listening to the GSMC Football Podcast. As always, I am your host, Jesse Tapia. We will be back tomorrow, so stay tuned, and I will talk to you later.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Football Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network, from movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.